Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics broadcast. It is Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. I am your host, J.R. Davis. Our guest today is Republican gubernatorial candidate and former Congressman Asa Hutchinson. We'll ask him about his new public safety initiative, launching that if he does get into the governor's office. We'll also talk to him about a new ad launched against him from the Democratic Governors Association, that and a whole lot more. But first things first, let's get to some headlines from across the country and right here in the state. President Bill Clinton's name and legacy, of course, looms large over Little Rock, thanks in large part to the Clinton Presidential Museum. Last night, the 42nd president was back in the capital city. Clinton addressed the Presidential Sites Libraries Conference, saying no matter who's commander-in-chief, it's vital they're remembered for making the country a better place to live. Take a listen.
Funny way, every single presidential library represents the triumph of a democracy that is increasingly diverse, that has found a way to meet its common challenges, to resolve its deep differences, and to keep going forward.
The president also joking that the reason he's regarded as important is because of his wife, Hillary Clinton, who is now a strong contender to become the 45th president of the United States. Reactions are still coming in over the deal brokered by President Obama for the release of a U.S. prisoner of war in exchange for five Taliban members being held at Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon confirming it's looking into the charge that U.S. soldier Sergeant Bo Bergdahl deserted his post in Afghanistan before being captured 5 years ago. The president has defended the prisoner swap, saying, "We don't leave Americans in uniform behind." Meanwhile, Representative Tom Cotton, a Republican, weighing in on the matter in yesterday's Natural State of Politics podcast. Take a listen. A fired-up Cotton also hit on the EPA's proposal to cut CO2 emissions by 30% and the latest on the VA scandal and how it affects us here in the natural state. You can listen to that podcast in its entirety on our website at nwahomepage.com. Last Thursday night, Congressman Steve Womack passed a congressional milestone. Womack and Michigan Rep. Justin Amash cast their 2,500th vote in the House of Representatives, giving them both the longest continuous voting streak among their current colleagues in the House without missing a vote. Pretty impressive. The average representative has missed 2.4% of votes over their time in office. Joined now by Congressman Asa Hutchinson, the Republican candidate for governor in the state of Arkansas. All right, let's get straight into it. First of all, how's the campaign going?
It's going very well. We finished the primary campaign with 73% of the vote, which is a great victory. Gave us momentum going into the fall campaign, and we like where we are right now.
Just recently, you rolled out a five-point plan, kind of reforming public safety and reducing drug abuse in Arkansas, improving accountability and supervision for parolees released from prison. You cited more resources for state law enforcement and drug task forces, support for proven and effective reentry programs, offer technical and expert assistance in school security and safety, increased funding for drug treatment courts. Okay, why is this an important issue to you heading into the general election?
Well, because we have a crime problem in Arkansas, and we have to acknowledge it and confront it head on. And it starts with having adequate prison space, but it also involves making sure that we have treatment options for those that have addiction problems. That's why I support drug treatment courts. Also, we have a problem with our parole and not having enough supervision. We need more accountability in the parole system in Arkansas. But fundamentally, the first responsibility of government is to protect the public. And we have to do a better job in Arkansas of making sure our violent criminals are off the streets.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Also, I want to get back to this in a second, but let's go on to a recent ad from the Democratic Governors Association attacking you. We've heard these comments before. It talks about, you know, that you're a high-paid D.C. lobbyist. You voted to cut college aid in 2000. And then, of course, you were registered to vote in Virginia. trying to stick the D.C. tag on yourself. It's interesting yourself. You were a former congressman, your opponent, Mike Ross, a former congressman. What do you say to accusations like this?
Well, they're pretty silly. Mike Ross spent 12 years in Washington. And, you know, I came back to Arkansas in 2005 when I left government service. Of course, people know I ran for governor 8 years ago. And since then, I've set up my own law firm here. So my Arkansas roots are deep. And, you know, in terms of the specifics of the ad, you know, on student aid, of course, you know, our Pell Grants increased while I was in Congress. You know, they point at specific votes, which is really simply trying to balance our budget, which we did before I left Congress. And then they talk about voting in Virginia. And yes, whenever I served our country at Homeland Security, it required my family to be up there with me. And we voted in Virginia, I think, for one presidential cycle. And then when I left government, I came back to Arkansas. So pretty, it's sort of the silly season, and it doesn't make much sense. I don't think it's going to influence voters. People know my deep Arkansas roots and how committed I am to this state.
This is, we're going to go back to your five-point plan there with public safety. One of the biggest issues right now around the state of Arkansas, really grouping out of three big issues, is the prison system in Arkansas, the overcrowding of prisons. How would you address something like this? And it seems, you know, is it more prisons? Obviously, you would think consolidation may not work because we're, you know, don't have the space. What would you do to solve this problem? And I know you hit on it a little bit, but I want you to talk about it in your own words.
Well, let's focus on how important it is.
Right.
You know, if you have somebody that's on parole and they fail to pass their drug test, they have to have a consequence to that. Or if they go out and commit a property crime, mm-hmm. when they're on parole, you have to have the ability to send them to prison. And if there's not a space there, then we lose total control of our system. We leave people out that have no consequences for violating the law. That's what has to change. And whenever you change that so that there is prison space and a consequence, then behavior will change as well. They'll start saying, well, there is a consequence, so we're going to make sure we follow the rules. But also, right now, our judges, you know, if they sentence someone to prison, they're very likely to be given a number saying, we don't have space now, so when we call your number, we come back in. That's not a good system. It can't be protecting the public. So prison space is fundamentally important. Mm-hmm. Now, the legislature appropriated, I think it's $3 million to study a new prison. And if that comes back that that's what we have to do and it's needed, then we're going to have to fund it and bite the bullet to do that because it's so important to our state. And so let's wait and see what the result of that is. I hope we don't have to have it, but if we do, in order to have the proper control in our system, then we're going to have to do it.
And that's interesting. I think a lot of people asking questions because of just kind of the looking at the budget over the last couple of years. Where would you see, I mean, if something like this were to have to happen, in your words, where would we see that money? How could we come up with the money? Obviously, very expensive undertaking.
Well, it is, and it's probably a $75 million figure to build a new prison. Of course, you have to have operating expenses as well. And so that's where I want to dive deep into it to know exactly what it will cost and whether there's some better ways to do it, to reorganize our prison system and how we house our prisoners. So we're going to look at every option. But we do have a $100 million surplus that I hope grows before 2015. And we'll have to work with the legislature to see exactly where that money comes from and how we can fund that prison. But it has to be paid for, and the easiest thing, I say that every problem in Arkansas can be solved by a growing economy. So that's why our first focus is growing the economy, and then hopefully that will help us to pay for these type of items that are necessary.
I want to get your thoughts on this. Some folks say your stance on crime and punishment was kind of expected because of your background, but also, you know, recently we saw that Mike Ross, your opponent, got the endorsements of 65 of the state's 75 elected sheriffs. What does that say, if anything, in your opinion, when you see an endorsement like this? And do you feel like when people say you're playing catch-up, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think I'm playing catch-up on anything because we're leading in the polls. I have broad support among law enforcement. You know, the fact is that when you look at the sheriff's endorsement, you know, it's a party line endorsement. I mean, the Democrat sheriffs endorse Mike Ross, the Republican sheriff endorsed me. We just happen to have more Democrat sheriffs. And so that's really of no consequence when you look deeply into it. And so you got to separate that from the substance of the proposal. And yes, I have a background in law enforcement. I was head of the DEA, a federal prosecutor, and I want to bring that experience. But it's not just about being tough on law enforcement. It's also drug treatment courts that recognize we need treatment alternatives for those with addiction problems. It's about a better reentry program that folks who come out of prison who have paid their debt to society and want to get a job, they need to have a better capability of getting a job, providing for the family, and being a productive citizen. And we need to remove some of those barriers and help them. So it's a very balanced approach that I'm presenting that combines tougher law enforcement, but also treatment alternatives for those that have addiction problems.
It's interesting. You mentioned it there that you don't feel like you're playing catch up with anything and you're leading in the polls. This is a very different time for you as opposed to running for governor the last time around. You've got a lot of momentum heading into the general election. In fact, a Rasmussen poll recently, back on May 30th, really just a couple days ago, has you up 48-41 over a Democrat, Mike Ross. Of course, we've seen a ton of polls. They come out seemingly every other week. But what does this mean for you, and what does it say for the campaign having this, you know, kind of having this stuff working for you heading into these summer months?
Well, it's exciting. People have responded to our message of job creation and economic growth. And even when I talk about the crime problem, I talk about it in terms of if we're going to recruit industry, if we're going to create jobs here, we have to have a workforce that's free of drugs. We have to have safe communities. So it's all tied to job creation. And people are responding to that message. In terms of what's ahead, I think with our lead, the other side turned negative, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars right now on negative ads, as you have mentioned. And so we just got to fight hard and maintain that lead going into November, but it gives us a lot of momentum and optimism.
I want to get your thoughts on one last thing, and we'll let you go. Bringing business to Arkansas is, of course, a major point to a lot of folks in Arkansas heading into the general election. The state, we kind of feel like it's primed for something like that. Just recently, we got great news out of Fort Smith with the ArcBest to add 975 jobs in Fort Smith. I mean, that's, you know, we've seen Fort Smith residents in the past. It's been kind of rough down there when you see all the jobs leaving, but nearly 1,000 jobs added. How good of this, of course, is it's kind of a dumb question, if you will. I mean, it's great for the state of Arkansas, but in your words, what does this mean for the state of Arkansas, and what does this do to kind of catapult the state forward in landing some of these bigger industries in the state of Arkansas?
Well, it's a great opportunity for us, and, you know, it's a subjective thing that we need to have a governor that's going to go out every day and try to recruit industry, but also there's some things that we need to do differently, like better tax policy in Arkansas, but a better regulatory environment. Let me just mention that was great news for Fort Smith with ArcBest and their expansion, but the River Valley, great opportunity to bring industry back. But the new EPA rules that President Obama just announced is really going to make it harder for us to have affordable energy for our consumers, but also for our industrial partners. That's been one of our big recruiting tools, is that we have very reasonable energy rates in Arkansas. And because of our dependence upon coal-fired generating plants, the new EPA rules, that's really a war on coal, is going to be a challenge for us. And so we've got to look at what we can do to oppose that, keep our energy rates competitive so that it will give us an advantage in bringing industry So there's a lot of opportunity there. You look at the industry in China, much of the manufacturing is coming back to the United States. We need to take advantage of that and bring our share back to this state.
Yeah, this was very interesting. I think probably a lot of people not paying close attention to it caught a lot of folks off guard. You talked about that proposal from the president would cut carbon dioxide emissions from existing power plants by 30% by the year 2030. The EPA says it'll actually save electric bills by about 8% from cost. The U.S. Chamber says it's going to actually shrink the economy by $51 billion, cost hundreds of thousands of jobs each year. And they say it'll actually add to consumer energy costs. I want to read this quote, and I want to get your thoughts on it. In a recent article, the Arkansas Electric Cooperative Corporation said it was disappointed by the announcement from the Obama administration. According to Dwayne Hiley, president and CEO of AECC, the reduction in the use of coal to generate electricity could also reduce the reliability of electric service in the state. You hit on that. This is what he says. Quote, this past winter's experience highlighted many reasons why power generation should not put all of our reliability eggs in the natural gas basket, inciting gas plant failures, pipeline freezes, and wholesale natural gas supply disruptions. It's interesting because you have seen a big push for natural gas in the natural state, but we're, you know, a lot of people say we're not really ready for that and not ready to, like he said, stealing his words, putting all your eggs in one basket. So what do you say to the obvious concern across the state of Arkansas?
Well, it emphasized the importance of having a diversified fuel source for our energy. It has to be part coal, natural gas, but also nuclear as being a critical part of the diversified sources. Obviously, you can add in some of the alternative energy sources that will develop in the future. But for example, of course, I'll be touring the coal fire generating plant in Gentry later this week. We've just built one down in South Arkansas. That is the most modern coal-fired generating plant in South Arkansas, but under the new EPA rules, they're going to have to retrofit that in the coming years. And who pays for that? That cost has to be allocated to the consumers. And so the rates have to go up to pay for that. Now, you can look at it and say, well, you know, we'll develop alternative energy sources. This will help expand our economy. But that shift really impacts the consumers. So I have great concern about that, and I think we need to oppose it. The Congress rejected these new EPA rules, and the president just said we're going to go around Congress and enact this by regulation. And so the battle will continue into next year for sure about whether those new regulations will actually take effect.
Former Congressman Asa Hutchinson and the Republican nominee and candidate for the governor of Arkansas. Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for taking time this morning.
Great to be with you, JR. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again soon. This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. For Director Jeff Campbell, I'm JR Davis. We'll see you next time.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.